I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And before I begin, I never say everything I would like to say, and I end up always sitting down and saying, oops, I should have said this, and I should have said that. I don't know that there's a lot for me to say tonight. I think all of you know how much I love this group. Not only those that I knew 60 years ago, but those of you who are more recent, they are part of the group. I care about you. I always have. And I've always been concerned about the welfare of the Oak Grove Church. And I might say that for the most part, I've never been disappointed. You have had good men working with you. Many of you have been faithful for years and years and years. Young people, children are coming along. It's just so much to be grateful for. And I'm very thankful for that. And I thank you for all the kindnesses you have shown me this week. And you have shown me lots. And I appreciate that very much. Appreciate the good meals. Appreciate those who have led their singing. Singing's been good. Much better than it used to be at Oak Grove. You have come along with your singing. And to be with Brad and all of his family has been a real joy to me. I'm thankful for all the time I had with him this week and with all of you. And sometimes you leave, especially somewhere where you've lived in the past, and you feel like, well, I just didn't get everything done. But in many ways, it feels like the week has been complete. A few disappointments, and some I hope would attend who did not. But otherwise, it's just been a complete week. When you feel the responsibility involved in preaching and then come to the last night, in some ways it's kind of good to finish and look back. But then to leave all of you is not a joy to me. But I will pray for you and look forward to hearing other good things about you. Thank you so much. Let's start with verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In a recent study of Ephesians, I was impressed with the references to the power of God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And in the end of verse 19, and I'm repeating something I've already said this week, but at the end of verse 19, there is mention of God's mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In his mighty power, he raised up Jesus and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now in chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verses 2 and 3 describe our past conduct. Then verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You remember, what did God do for Christ? Made him alive, raised him up, seated him in his own right hand in the heavenly places. What did he do for us? He made us alive from spiritual death, raised us up together with Christ, made us sit together with Christ, where? In the heavenly places. And that's where we sit today. We sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. How did this come about? Through the power of God. Go to the third chapter. I want to look at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The power that works in us. But I don't want you to miss the context of that statement. This statement has to do with what God can do with us to bring us to spiritual strength. Go back to verse 14 and let's start reading there. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length. And what's he praying about? He's praying that God will bring them to spiritual strength, growth, development in the Lord. And then he says, verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think about what? The spiritual growth and strength that God can bring in our lives. Sometimes I think we think too small. We almost meet a level of mediocrity in the Lord and think that's good enough. No, we need to set our standard high, always pressing toward higher ground. And no matter how high we place it, this passage says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it has to do with the spiritual strength that we can come to, and God can bring us to that. Through what means? His mighty power. God's power working in Christ to raise him from the dead. God's power to raise us up to sit with God, with Christ in the heavenly places. God's power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think in bringing us to spiritual strength. Power of God. Now go to chapter 6 and read again verse 10. You need something? Is everything okay? Okay. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the first thought I want us to have in regards to this spiritual warfare of which we're part is that our strength in this spiritual warfare comes through the power of God, and it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that raised us up together with him to sit with him in the heavenly places. It is the same power that can bring us to spiritual strength exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's the power that we can have in our struggles against Satan and in our growth in the Lord. We do not rest on our own strength. We rest on the strength of the Lord. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. If you think you've heard these verses before, this is the third time I've read them. Jeremiah chapter 17, on whom do we lean in our struggles spiritually? Jeremiah 17, beginning with verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Who is the blessed man? The one who trusts in the Lord, not the one who trusts in himself. Our trust is in the Lord. And as we serve the Lord and go through this spiritual warfare, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go to 2 Chronicles. I want to go to chapter 14. In chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles, we read of a man named Asa. Asa, where do we put Asa? I guess we call him one of the good kings of Judah, even though he faltered. But in the early stage of Asa's reign in Judah, a huge army was coming up from Ethiopia against Judah. And Asa knew with his army of 600,000, he could not go against this army of 1 million people, that he had no hope of defeating them. But he prayed to the Lord. Look at verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa, and Judah and the Ethiopians fled. Why did he win that battle? Because he put his trust in the Lord. Unfortunately, when we get to the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles, now Baasha, the king of Israel, is coming against Judah. But instead of trusting in the Lord, verse 2 says, then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty. No longer is his trust in the Lord. Now his trust is in flesh. His trust is in man. And there was no approval of God on this. In fact, God sent a prophet to rebuke him. Look at verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. And instead of Asa repenting, he put this prophet in prison. When was Asa successful? It was when he relied on the Lord. When was he a failure? When he failed to rely on the Lord. Here we are in a spiritual struggle, as Asa had been in a physical struggle. We're in a spiritual struggle, and when we rely on the Lord, we can be successful. But when we rely on self or on man, we're doomed to failure. I go back to Ephesians 6. Why is it so important that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, it's because of the enemy. Look at verse 12 of Ephesians 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, if it was my strength against another man's strength, I might be able to overcome through my own power. But that's not what it is. It's my strength against the spiritual host of wickedness, against Satan and all of his forces. I think of a person named, well, let's just say I have a weakness for drink. And here's a man trying to get me to go to a bar and trying to get me to drink with him. And I have some weakness about that. And I say, here is my enemy. Oh, he's not the enemy. He's a mere tool in the hands of the real enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against Satan and all of his forces. That man trying to get me to go take that drink is only a tool in the hands of the real enemy. And it's not my strength against this man's strength. It's my strength against Satan's strength. And when you can't talk about the fight against Satan, the only way I can win that fight is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God's given us the armor. We're not going to talk a lot about this. I think most of us have a fairly good image of what the soldier of that day looked like. He had a helmet, protect his head. Breastplate, protecting the vital organs. He had a belt or a girdle that kept all the rest of the armor in place, and it held the sheath that the sword went into. He had shoes, and it's my understanding there were extensions to protect his shins. He had a sword, and he had a shield. Now, that was his armor. That's what he used to fight with. Well, look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm not going to comment on those things. They're pretty obvious, except for two. First of all, look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The term righteousness is used in two ways in the Scripture. Sometimes it has to do with our behavior toward our fellow man. We deal righteously with others. Other times, as we've been talking all this week about, it is righteousness which we have in God's sight as a result of God's forgiveness. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, if we've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, what state does that put us in? A state of righteousness. And since it's God who provides the armor, I have no doubt that the righteousness of this verse has to do with that which God sees in us because of his forgiveness. The breastplate of righteousness. I want to also comment on verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I have a quote here. These flaming darts or arrows could stick into the soldier's leather-covered shield and even set it afire. Panic would set in, and a soldier might be tempted to cast away his burning shield and expose himself to the enemy's weapons. Can you see that? Here's his shield, but it's got leather on it. Here comes a fiery dart, and he reaches out, and the fiery dart, but it sticks in the shield, and it sets the shield on fire. And then he becomes fearful, and he... Not this shield. The shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. God has given us all the armor that we need. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our enemy is Satan and all of his forces. We cannot defeat him on our own. We have to be strong in the Lord. And he gives us all of the armor we need in order to defeat the enemy. But there's something we have to do. First of all, we have to put on that armor. And not just a part of it, but all the armor. That's mentioned two times. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have it done all to stand. Which part of that armor can you leave off and still be safe? Somebody said, well, the shoes. If you're injured in the foot, that wouldn't be a fatal injury. But you can't fight. If you're wounded in the foot, you can't even run. If you're wounded in the foot, there is no piece of that armor that you can leave off and still be successful in your fight against Satan. Take on the whole armor. Now here's the second thing. We have to stand. Did you notice that the word stand, if you include withstand, is used four times? Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. What good does it do if you put the best armor on a man, but you've got a coward inside? You got nothing. Stand. Don't yield an inch. Take your stand against Satan and all of his forces. And then the next thing is, you must pray, you must watch, you must persevere. Look again at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The wonderful thing is, victory is assured. If we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, if we'll take on the whole armor of God, if we will stand and never yield an inch, if we are praying and watching and persevering, victory is assured. Did you notice? You will be able. Three times. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Look down at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You will be able. You will be able. You will be able. We do not go into this battle with a defeatist attitude. If we'll be strong in the Lord and find it in Him, our strength and power, if we take on the whole armor of God and stand, and pray and persevere and watch, we will be able. We can win. I heard this illustration one time. your favorite ball team is playing. It's nip and tuck. For a while, your team is winning. But then another team comes up and they're winning. And then your team is winning and then their team is winning. And it's just back and forth all through the game. But right at the end of the game, you pull out the victory. Later, as oftentimes takes place, they give a rerun of that game on TV. And you watch it, but you're not wringing your hands anymore. You know the outcome. We know the outcome. If we will do our part, God will give us the victory. And we can overcome the evil one. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 now. On this occasion, the king of Judah is Jehoshaphat, and he was a good king. And when Jehoshaphat was king, armies came from Moab and Ammon, and even some others joined with them, a huge force coming against the nation of Judah. Jehoshaphat looked at the situation, and he knew. Just as Asa had done, as we talked in the past, he knew we cannot defeat this great army that's come up against us. Look at verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 20. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, and here's his prayer, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? And then he continues to pray about God's great power. And he says in verse 12, as he finishes the prayer, O our God, will you not judge them? We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. Well, about this time, a prophet stands up. And here's what he says. Look at verse 15. He said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Israel. I'm sorry, Jeriel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. All right, the prophet assures them, you can go out against this big army. You don't have to fight. It'll all be taken care of. The Lord will take care of you. Now look at verse 20. So they rose early in the morning, went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe the prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Not an arrow had been shot. Not a spear had been cast. And they're already rejoicing, thanking God for the victory, praising God for the victory that he's going to give to them. That's the kind of trust they have in the Lord. And I'm just suggesting to you, that's the kind of trust we must have. He has assured us of victory. We can win. You can go to heaven. Don't go into the battle with a defeatist attitude. You have the Lord on your side. Victory is assured. You will be able. You will be able. You will be able. And with God's help, every one of us can defeat Satan, can be saved eternally, and we can praise God now for the marvelous victory that he will give to us. I was thinking this afternoon, it's very likely, by reason of age and strength, that this is the last time I'll ever stand before this group of people. I think that is, reality just says that's the way it is. And I want to encourage all of you, don't give up the fight. Be strong in the Lord. Be of good courage. Never forget the power that is on your side. The God who is on your side, who will fight for you. Put on the whole armor. Don't leave a piece off. Prepare against this formidable foe that we have, Satan and all of his forces. Stand. Don't ever compromise. Don't ever give way. And hopefully, every one of us someday, having won the victory, can be placed on the right hand of our Lord, and we can hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I hope I'm on the right hand. I believe I will be. And I want you to be. And so, it is though I leave you with that encouragement, exhortation. Don't ever give way to Satan. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going to sing a song for anybody here who needs to obey the gospel. You can do it. You ever heard of somebody that never became a Christian because he said, "I just don't think I can live it"? What's going on what you're talking about? If you're talking about somehow reaching a level of absolute sinless perfection, you know what? You can't live it. But if you're talking about serving the Lord, growing in the Lord, doing as you learn, always advancing, and relying on his forgiveness, you can do it. All of us can do it. Give yourself to the Lord and live in confidence and assurance that if the Lord ever comes at any moment, you're his because you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness and you're his. If you're not a faithful Christian, will you come as we stand?